In our path up the mountain of the Gospel of John and the theology that'll take us into his life and into his love, as the climbing a mountain of love indicates in the letters, I need to remind you that occasionally, that's the theme of the book of John. Occasionally climbing a mountain, it comes time to go steep climbing, and what climbers use is a spike, an actual iron spike, that they will drive into the cracks of the rock wall. And on that secure iron spike, they will pull themselves up and hang their ropes over and use them to climb. John, in his gospel and in 1 John, has, I want to introduce you to three iron spikes of the themes of John, his writing as he goes through his gospel and his epistles. There are three major iron spikes of his thematic emphasis in the Gospels. All three of these spikes are pairs. If you'll notice in the writing of the Gospel of John, he loves three particular spikes, if you will. There is life and death. There is life and death being the first spike. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life. He tells the Pharisees and scribes, if you don't believe in me, you will die in your sins. Life and death are the extremities, and that's one of the three pairs that John writes over and over again. Another one is light and darkness. The gospel opens up with Jesus, John writing that Jesus comes as the light of the world. And he says the darkness didn't comprehend or understand that light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. 1 John says that those who follow me walk in light. Those who do not walk in darkness. So you have death and you have life. You have light and you have darkness. And you have love and you have hatred. You have love and you have hatred. I'm getting from John that in the spiritual realm there are no gray areas. It is black or white. It is love or hatred. It is life or death. In 1 John it talks about this area of love. Of love of God means cutting us off from the world. John says to love the world is the love of the Father is not in you. These themes of love and hate, life and death, light and darkness are woven all through this gospel in John's writings. I think there's a reason for that. John was of the apostles when Jesus called him the youngest. It is very possible he was 12, 13, 14, maybe not more than 15 years old. Can you imagine calling an apostle at the age 15? Kind of gives you hope for teenagers, doesn't it? That he would call a teenager. But of all the apostles, I think John took it the deepest. I think for John, who wrote the most magnificent gospel on the heights of the love and life and light of Jesus Christ, John was affected the deepest by Jesus Christ. I think that's part of his age. I think we are affected most when we're young, aren't we? The clay has not hardened yet, and we're soft, and things impact us. We as old people may forget to take our medicine, but we won't forget what happened when we were 8 years old, will we? Those memories are solid, aren't they? Because they were plunged into the soft clay of youth. And John, for John, when he saw the impact of the life of Jesus Christ on him in his young age, as he wrote older, everything became black and white. And there was no gray areas. You either love God or you hate God. You either have life or you have death. You either have light or you're in darkness. Now, of the three pairs, it's interesting to note that only one of the three, or one pair of the three, it was created by God. God created light. He did not create darkness. There's no verse in Genesis when the Lord said, let there be darkness. There was light. And yes, there was the night, separating it from the light. But even in the darkness, he gave stars and moon to give us shades. No one walks out at night in pitch darkness. Like you can't see your hand in front of your face. Neither did he create death. God is the author of life, and from him pours life. He is the source of all of our lives, both physically and spiritually, in every way. But he did not create death. Death came in after the garden experience. Neither did God create hate. Although God hates sin, sin wasn't around in his original creation. God is a God of love. So what are these three that are negative in the pairs? They are simply the results of turning your back on what God has created and given. What is death other than the refusal to receive life? The scribes and Pharisees will die in their sins because they don't believe in life of Christ and receiving that. What is darkness other than turning your back on light? And what is hatred other than refusing to receive the love of God? In the purest sense, there is no cold. Do you know that? There is only the absence of heat, which creates cold. There's one other word that I want you to get on your mind before we delve into chapter 15 of the verses, because Jesus is going to talk about hate. It's a common phrase today, don't be a hater. But really, it's almost impossible not to be a hater. Because either you will hate this world and love God, or you will hate God and love this world. John knew nothing of the gray matter in the middle. There's another word I want to introduce to you so you understand. It is the word that John uses for world. The world. He uses it over and over in the gospel and in his writings in 1 John. It's the word world. Now, what does he mean when he uses the word world? Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. But then it talks about love, not the world. Well, you Greek scholars may want to look into the different uses of the word world, but in every case, in John's writings, it's the same word. It's the word cosmos. So you cannot go in there and find different Greek words used in different... There's the same word. So we must find the meaning of John's word world in the particular verses that he uses it contextually. So what does he mean? He might mean this. There are verses that talk about the streams and the trees, the created order of God. Does God love the world? Well, yeah, he created it. I think God loves dogs. Amen. It's possible God loves cats. But God loves all things. I'm looking for Terry out here somewhere, okay. Could it mean this? Yeah, in some verses it does. Humanity. For God so loved the world. He loves trees, but really that's, I think, John 3:16 right there. For God so loved the world. But, we get to John chapter 15 here, and it talks about if the world hates me. Well, what is he referring to there? I think he's referring to this. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world. This world that we live in, John says the whole world lies in the wicked one. Christian, open your eyes. The world that we live in is the realm and dominion of the devil. His system, if you will, his net, to snare people, to keep them away from Christ, is quite effective. It's to allure the appetites of humanity towards certain specific sin and lust and preoccupation. Satan, through this world, will keep you so preoccupied that you won't see the gospel or see Christ. He'll have you running off making a living, or buying that thing, or going to that game, or, which is relevant for this time of year, the worship experience of this world is found in all kind of realms. Now, I'm not a negative person. I'm a realist. And I know this world is not my home. Amen. I know that I'm just passing through. And I know the things of this world will leave you dead, dry, empty, and gone. It's a trap. It's a shrimp on a hook. Bite it and feel it lodge into your jaw and pull you into the boat. This is the world that John refers to. Look at John chapter 15, verse 18. He says this, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you." Hate's a strong word, isn't it? You might be angry. Karen's angry at me on a regular basis, but she doesn't hate me. Her anger, she gets over it. Mainly because I go outside and ignore. No, I don't do that. This is the way the world looks at you, Christian. The world hates you. Time to put our big boy pants and big girl pants on. And know that this world that we live in is not a friend to Jesus Christ. It's not. It never will be, never has been. The attempt of the church to reach out to the world to make friends is not biblical. We are a lighthouse of the gospel and message of Jesus Christ. This is the only message we preach to the world. How to be saved, born again, and taken out of this world by being redeemed in Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the church. That is why we are here, and that is the only reason we are here. Do we feed them sometimes? Yes, by all means, feed them. Do we clothe them? Not a problem with that. That's not our mission. Our mission is to say, the ship is sinking. Get in the life raft. It's all going down. Now, I appreciate how Jesus frames this here in verse 18, because he says, if the world hates you. Now, to a smaller degree, they all do, but there's a large part of this world that doesn't hate us. There are, depending on how tied into the system of Satan they are, depending to the degree to which they hate us. There are many lost people who respect Christians in the Christian religion. Okay? I'm reminded of that of hospitals where I pull up and there's clergy parking, which I always appreciate. Of course, when it's full, I wonder if they're clergy. Of course, when they see me get out of my truck, they probably wonder if I'm clergy. But there's a realm within this world that respects Christianity, that respects pastors, respects churches. So Jesus didn't say, you know, get this big, you know, we are not to run and woe is me. But know that in this world, if they hate us, notice, know that they have hated me before they hated you. Why do they hate us? Verse 19. If you were of the world, of, ek, out of, sourced from. It's a fascinating Greek word that talks about the source of your life. If you drew your life from this world, they would love you. If you ran to the same excess as them for the things of this world, then you're their brother and sister. If you were of this world. Christian, you are not of this world. Notice in verse 19, the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world. Let me say that again. Jesus looks at us who follow him and know him. You are not of this world. Notice the rub. Because there's a lot of people that buy out of the system of this world. There are vagabonds and, you know, folks who camp out in the woods who reject all the world. There's hermits. There's religious people who reject all the world system, if you will. There are people that just don't buy into this whole world, but there's no hatred of them. Notice the next phrase. It's the reason why we're particularly hated. Notice, but I chose you out of the world. I chose you out of the world. Wow. Notice, you didn't choose me. I chose you, and I chose you out of your rebellion. I chose you when you were a part of Satan's kingdom. You were flying down the river on a current so strong you couldn't even turn around, and I picked you out. I plucked you out of the current of this world. Isn't that beautiful? I chose you, and when I chose you, you weren't choosing me. You weren't turning to me. You didn't stop in that river and turn and say, could you throw me a lifeline? He plucked you out of this world. That's why they hate you. That's why they hate us. We are chosen by Jesus Christ out of this world. We have his name on us. You can say, I have faith in God all day long in this world. You can stand up and talk about believing in God. You can pray and say in God's name, amen. And the world will say, amen. But if you close your prayer with, in the name of Jesus Christ, they will come unglued. They hate you because of his name. We bear his name. He chose us. He pulled us out of this world. That's why the world down deep can't stand us. So everybody all together, pull off the rose-colored glasses. Know that as long as we're in this world, it is not our friend. Don't get a complex. Don't walk up to the next cashier you give money to and say, I know you hate me behind there. You saw that Jesus bumper sticker on. I know you hate me. Don't ask for it. You know, the church had a problem the first couple hundred years because martyrdom became very popular. The church had to put out a statement and say, quit burning at the stake. Because Christians would actually want the glory of being burned at the stake and ask for it. Yeah? So we don't ask for it. But don't be shocked when you get it. There's a balance there. Notice, I chose you out of this world. Therefore, for that particular reason, the world hates you. That's a settled disposition against you of hatred. But I'd rather take the hatred of this world and have Christ than reject his beautiful name and have their embrace. I don't care about them. The world didn't die for me. The world didn't sacrifice its life for me. No man did. Paul said, let every man be a liar and let God be true. Notice he goes on to say, remember the word that I said to you. Now, I'm going to tell you, in the whole realm of life, that is a great phrase to camp on for a while. You have a question about life, remember the word that I said unto you. You have a decision to make, remember the word that I said unto you. You have struggles, remember the word that I said. Read the words of Jesus Christ. He expects them to be remembered. Remember my words. Remember what I say. What I say will make no sense in this world. but they'll work in the spiritual realm. Remember the word that I said. I love that. Boy, camp on that for a while and just read his words. It's amazing as you study and read his words, they'll come back up, they'll talk to you all the time. You know, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Amen. Notice he said, the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. This is a realm beyond hatred. This is the action of hatred in attempting to harm or hurt us. Whether it's be the loss of your job because you're a Christian and you refuse not to do the unethical thing or the immoral thing, or the loss of your friends because you refuse to run to the bars with them, or whether it's the severing of your head by a man holding a sword from ISIS. We live in a very comfortable culture, do we not? Christians, there are more people martyred in this past century than in all of Christendom. Do you know that? People still die for Jesus Christ. They're launched out into the desert, their heads roll, their bodies go limp, they are persecuted. It's no shock, it's no surprise, and it shouldn't be to us. We're living in a country that's fast losing its moral compass. We may soon in this century be facing real persecution. Face it with dignity. Face it knowing the master was persecuted before us. Face it knowing this is lock, stock, and barrel of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It is not the filling of your bank account. It is not the healing of your joints. It is not warm and fuzzy stuff. Our reward is in the next life, not this life. We're going to a country of joy and peace, and we'll have none of that here. At least not what the world will give us. One theologian said, following Jesus Christ, the apostles gained two things. They were always hilariously joyful in following him, but in constant danger. When Paul walked into a town, a riot soon broke out after he got to preaching. You think he embraced the cultures and worlds and tried to reach out to them? No, he declared a Christ who died for their sins, and they were all sinful and needed a Savior, needed to be redeemed. That message will always get you in trouble. Always. Notice verse 21. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name. There's the name. I don't get invited to a lot of secular events to pray, but they'll be sorry if they ever do. Because I'm going to pray the gospel and pray it in Jesus' name, and I may say it 3 or 4 times at the end. In case you didn't hear, let's bow our heads again in Jesus' name. Carry that name with honor and dignity and love and majesty, and let the whole world hate you, but not him. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. Notice, because they do not know him who sent me. They don't know him. And they will not know you. The settled disposition of the world toward us is hatred. Know that. Whether it comes in small degrees or great degrees, depending on whether those lost people, how tied in they are to Satan's system in this world. And that doesn't mean how more sinful they are, like this stuff we would categorize as sinful. It just means sin and rejecting God's rule and authority over their lives. But just know that in the heart of man all around you is a settled disposition of hatred. That's a hard word, isn't it? Number two, carry the name of Jesus. with great joy and great honor. Amen. Karen had an Aunt Lois. She married a man named Bernie. Bernie was a great folks. Bernie's last name was Craps. Yeah, Bernie and Lois Craps. Lois was fond when she was introduced to someone new. She would say to them, "It's pronounced Craps. Don't try to clean it up." Craps. It is what it is. For this world who hates the name of Jesus Christ, say it clearly. Don't try to clean it up for them. They should be bowing their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Years ago, I worked with a fellow named Lewis. Lewis was a letter carrier at Arlington. Lewis was about the most vocal. He was like Paul before he got saved. I mean, vocal, always bashing the Christians at work and always saying something derogatory. I enjoyed the engagement with Lewis every day. It gave me a nice platform to share the gospel with all the people listening. One morning, I was walking through, and Lewis was at his cage. I said, "Lewis, turn around." And he turned around. I said, "Lewis, do this." And he was like that. And then I walked away, and he said, "Gaylor, how come you want me to do that?" I said, "I just want to make sure your knees bow." He said, "Well, why do you want to know that?" I said, "Because someday every knee will bow to Jesus Christ. I want to make sure you can get down there." Of course, Lewis, whatever. I expect to see Lewis in heaven someday. Somebody that antagonistic against the name of Jesus Christ will probably get saved one day. Carry that name with great honor. You young people in school, carry it into school with great honor, wherever you are. And number three, who is the source of your life? Is it this world or is it Jesus Christ?